From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Thursday, February 4th. Coming up, the final story in our four-part Move to Include series, telling the personal stories of people with disabilities and how they've been affected by COVID-19. But first, these headlines. Some pharmacies will start seeing an increase in vaccine doses shipped directly from the federal government. Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman reports.
The Biden administration announced Tuesday that it's launching a new pilot program to ship about 1 million vaccine doses a week directly to thousands of pharmacies across the U.S. NPR reports it's an attempt to address equity concerns and speed up the process of getting people vaccinated. Speaking during a visit to the iHotel vaccination site in Champaign, Governor J.B. Pritzker said he expects Illinois pharmacies will start receiving those extra doses by late next week.
That means 39,000 more doses available each week to Illinoisans, and that number will grow within that program.
Pritzker says Illinois on Tuesday surpassed its single-day vaccination record with more than 65,000 doses given. Now, with about 2% of the eligible population fully vaccinated with two doses, Illinois is tracking with the U.S. average. I'm Christine Herman, Illinois Newsroom.
Republican state lawmakers say it should be easier to recall public officials in Illinois or to vote someone out of office before their term ends. A group of Republicans this week introduced a bill allowing for these actions, which would apply to both state and local government, with the exception of judges. Senator Jason Barrickman of Bloomington says the existing process to remove officials through recall is antiquated.
Illinois has a recall provision that's wildly limited and only applies to the office of the governor. In fact, it's very cumbersome. It has barriers to it that make it nearly impossible to use.
On the heels of the 2009 impeachment of ex-Governor Rod Blagojevich, Illinois voters in 2010 approved a constitutional amendment allowing for recall of a governor, but it requires thousands of voters to sign a petition, followed by approval of a bipartisan group of at least 30 state lawmakers. The Illinois economy continued its slow recovery last month, according to the University of Illinois Flash Index. Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows reports.
The Flash Index for January pegged the state's economy at 96.3. That continues a gradual improvement since the COVID-19 pandemic caused a sharp decline last spring, sending the index down below 100. U of I economist Fred Gert says state tax revenues, which are used to produce the Flash Index, were not as badly hit by the pandemic as first feared.
Even though the revenues were affected by the crisis, it wasn't nearly as severe as we thought 6 months ago or so. So the state revenues held up surprisingly well during this situation.
The Flash Index has shown a contracting economy since the pandemic moved into Illinois last March. But Gertz has hopes things will improve as more Illinoisans are vaccinated for COVID-19 and more customers are allowed inside restaurants and other businesses. I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Newsroom.
Champaign County reported 133 new COVID-19 cases on Wednesday. It was the first time in nearly a week that more than 100 cases were reported in the county in a single day. The number of active cases in the county jumped to 636. Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, currently has 58 COVID-19 patients, with 10 in intensive care. As of Wednesday, nearly 15% of Champaign County's eligible population had received the first dose of the Pfizer or Moderna COVID-19 vaccines, and 3% had received both doses. The University of Illinois Urbana campus has seen a jump in new COVID-19 cases the last 2 days, with 66 new cases in tests conducted Monday and 41 more in tests conducted Tuesday. The 7-day case positivity rate has also jumped from 0.19% to 0.29%. There have been more than 400 new cases since January 18th. Still to come, we'll hear the story of an artist and teacher with cerebral palsy. It's the final installment of our Move to Include series from Side Effects Public Media. That's next on 217 Today.
Healthcare has never been more important as the coronavirus pandemic continues to touch every aspect of our lives. I'm Christine Herman, health reporter for Illinois Newsroom, working to make sense of what's going on with rich storytelling and helpful analysis for listeners across the state. Hear what I uncover next on AM 580 and FM 90.9, or look for my stories online at illinoisnewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Today, we close our four-part series about the pandemic's impact on people with disabilities. We hear from a painter who has cerebral palsy. His passion for teaching was put on hold. Seth Johnson interviewed him for Side Effects Public Media and its Move to Include initiative.
My name is Johnson Simon. I was born with cerebral palsy. I'm a painter. I moved to Indianapolis to pursue my master's in art. I really enjoy teaching art. And what I enjoy about teaching art is watching the process of someone when they don't think they could do it and then pushing them along and watching them grow. The cerebral palsy I have is it caused my muscles to be tight. I gotta take a muscle relaxer every day. I take it 3 times a day. If I didn't take it this morning, it would be real hard for you to understand what I'm trying to portray. So it also affect my speaking, my walking, my hands. How I discovered my art talent was I started doing physical therapy. My therapist had wanted me to work with my hand. And then she told me to start drawing. And then what really opened my eyes was when I was in second grade, my classmate was drawing, and I was drawing too. And my classmate said, "How do you do that?" I'm like, "It's easy." And you can imagine discovering that I could do something that everybody cannot do. And I was like, "Oh, cool. This is my superpower." I live on my own. I'm a real independent guy. And when the pandemic started, the first impact was not being able to go to work. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't just work. It was my passion. It's like the whole world has stopped. The only thing that helped me during the pandemic, I still have my art studio. So my studio was my getaway from my home. The way that the pandemic affected my career, well, I want to someday be a full-time artist and a full-time professor. Not being able to teach has set me back in a way. Remember, this past year, I was just starting my teaching career, and the pandemic came, and it just put a big pause on everything. So I'm afraid not having the experience, I'm not building my resume. And one thing I miss the most about teaching is that communication or being able to be around people, period, and being able to give advice and also watching them grow as an artist of themselves. That's the greatest feeling ever, knowing that you're helping someone grow as something that they want to do.
That was Johnson Simon, a painter and professor. He was interviewed by Seth Johnson, and the audio diary was produced by Colleen Pellissier. This closes a four-part series for the Move to Include initiative on people with disabilities. It's funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see rain starting midday, mixing with sleet and snow late in the day with a high of 37 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Christine Herman, Derek Cantu, Jim Meadows, and Colleen Pellissier. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.